If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the 5th chapter of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. We started there last week and I didn't get very far, so I wanted to go back and continue looking at this portion of Scripture. Now, if you remember in the book of Ephesians, the key thing is the church. And so as we studying the book of Ephesians, the primary focus is the church. And in this section of the book, chapter 5, it's talking about the Christian walk. And Paul describes the Christian walk. And it's from chapter 5. Verse 1 down to chapter 6, verse 9. And it talks about our walk. Now, we're not going to get all that today, but we're going to talk about some of it starting today. And so I want to go back and reread some of this and look at it again and think about what he's saying to us. Because, folks, let me tell you something. That we are in a particular time in the world where it seemed like everything is against God and His Word. And we need to be aware of that today. And our Christian walk, you know, as I was watching these young people sing, it swells my heart with pride to see our young people singing to the Lord and to hear our choir. But one time, not too long ago, a man come to me, and it was about his adult son that was beginning in the ministry, and he said, look, we need to do everything we can do to encourage our young people, or my son. I said, brother, you know what the best way for you to encourage your son is? And he said, what is that? Show him how important God is to you. Amen. Be faithful to the house of God. Show your children that it's important to you to be in the house of God when God's people meet. Amen. Amen. Now, either you're saying, preacher, you're way out there. You don't want to say nothing today. Amen. You just quiet. But folks, I'm telling you, your children know what's important to you because they watch you do what's important to you all the time. You better understand that. You better get that. Amen.
Amen.
I've seen a lot of older folks and their kids no longer, church is not important to them. And some of them I've known for a number of years. Brother Donnie, it takes a certain amount of restraint. Not to say it's because when they were coming up, church wasn't important to you.
That's right.
It takes a lot of restraint not to say that.
That's right.
But it's true. Amen.
That's so true.
Okay. I'm off of that now. Let's get back to this. Our young people is a blessing to me. And I want to do everything I can to encourage them.
Amen.
Not only in the things of God, but I want our children to show forth a good work ethic, to be honest in their dealings with other folks, to be faithful in all things, whether it's their job, whether it's coming to the house of God, whatever it is. Because we're to be faithful to everything like we're doing it unto the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And the best way to do that is by example and showing them what's important.
Amen.
So that's what makes these portions of Scripture, when Paul is teaching Christians how to live their day-to-day lives. So let's begin our reading in chapter 5, verse 1. I think I'm only going to read down to verse 21 today, and we're not going to get to all of that, but that's a good place for us to stop. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man, which is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye partakers with them.
Amen.
For ye were sometimes darkness. I want you to notice something here. Everybody look up here. I want you to notice something here. I want you to notice words mean something. And the absence of words means something. It does not say, for ye were sometimes in darkness. It doesn't say that. It says, for ye were sometimes darkness. That means that there was a point in time in your life that you were lost, without the love of God, without the hope of Christ, without any inkling of hope after this life. Folks, I want you to see that today. The Bible teaches us that are saved that we are only saved to be good enough to go to heaven because Christ died for us.
Amen.
We were sometimes darkness, not sometimes in darkness. Now maybe sometimes you can get in darkness now, but you're not darkness any longer. Because it goes on to say, but now are ye light. You're not in light. You're not walking in light. The Bible says that you are light. I'm going to come back to that if I remember when we get there. but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Not as children in light, but as children of light. I want you to see this. This is our walk. This is the way that we live our continual day-to-day journey until either we die or until Jesus comes back and gets us.
Amen.
That's how we're to live. Excuse me. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of these things which are done of them in secret.
Amen.
There's very little shame in church anymore. You understand that? There's very little shame in the average child of God's existence anymore. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by by the light, for whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Brother Darrell, would you lead our hearts as we pray?
Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we just thank you for your word today, dear Lord. We just ask you to speak, dear Lord, what you have to hear, dear Father. We just thank you for this church. Lord, you just be with us, dear Lord. Just thank us, dear Lord. Help us be alive, dear Lord. You walk, dear Lord. Let people look up, dear Lord.
Amen. All right. Now I'm kind of backing all the way up to verse 1. I know we went over this, so I'm just going to hit verses 1 through 6 just pretty briefly today, because we preached a lot about it last week, and I don't want to go over it, but I want you to look at this through our daily walk as Christians. And here, the Bible tells us that we are to walk in love. In verse 1, it says, followers. That word literally means to imitate or to mimic. Not putting on airs, not trying to pretend like you're something else, but like you are trying to conform to the one you're trying to imitate. Be like. Last week I talked about the father and the son, and how the child would mimic his father, or he would copy his father. How many of y'all, when y'all were little, would put on your daddy's shoes, and when you know you try to walk across with them big old shoes on, and trying to act like your father? Now, folks, let me tell you something. The shoes of Jesus are mighty big to fill, but let me tell you, we're to be followers as dear children. That's what we're supposed to do. To try to imitate or emulate our Savior, Jesus Christ, as dear children. Walk in love. Now, how do we do verse 1? Well, these other things. Well, verse 1 says that we're to be followers of God as dear children. Verse 2 says, first of all, we're to walk in love. If you don't have love for the brethren that you do see, how can you say you love God in whom you don't see? Amen? I tell you what, I just can't stand him. Or her. Or whatever. Let me tell you something, folks. The Bible tells us that we're to love one another. To walk in love. To express our love one for another. Now let me tell you, that don't mean that you're supposed to roll over and like everything somebody does. Because let me tell you something. I got news for you. There's a lot of things that you do and I do that God does not love. But He loves us. He cares for us. He sees to our need. He expresses His love in His sacrifice for us. And that's what this next part goes on to say. Let me see. It says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering. He given Himself for us. That's how we're to show our love for one another. It is a very easy thing to tell someone, I love you. But it's another thing to show. Sometimes, when we really love somebody, we have to tell them things that they don't like. Sometimes, you know, and I'm thinking mostly of a parent-to-child relationship. There's time that you have to tell your children things that they don't want to hear. I know people that are trying to raise their children like they are their best friend. Got news for you. Your children have friends. They need parents.
That's right.
Amen? Somebody that loves them. Not only for the good things, but sometimes we got to tell them the rough things, the bad things, or the things that they don't want to hear, the things they don't want to do. We're to offer ourselves a sacrifice to God for others as a sweet-smelling savor. Smell. Odor. That's what that word means. For a long time, I read that word as the same thing as flavor. That's not the same thing. That's not even, you know. But let me tell you, that we show our love in the things that we do, not necessarily in the things that we say. And then he goes on in these verses, and kind of leading up to the next part, but he says that we're to walk in love, but we're to flee some things. You know, there are some things that the Bible says, and like this, that all things are permissible unto me, but not everything is expedient. We talked about that word in Sunday school this morning. Expedient. It means good for you. Amen? And so he gives us a list here of things that are not expedient for us, or that's good for us, and that we would do better to abstain from. In fact, he doesn't say that we would do better. He just says you're to abstain from them. Stay away from them. Get away from them. And not only that, we are not only to stay away from those things, but we're to shine the light. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And reprove these things. In other words, give a voice of opposition to them.
Amen.
Now, that's Bible, not Brother Willie. That's what the Bible says. Now, he says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So our Christian walk, we have some things we are to do. And he also gives us things that we're not to do. Now, the first thing he says we are to do is to walk in love. Everything we do, our conversation, everything we do, our speech, our conversation, our daily lives should be salted with love. But we're to also abstain or stay away from fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness. And let it not be named once among you. Verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking. excuse me, nor jesting, which is not convenient. I've had people point this scripture out to me before and say that you're not supposed to kid around. Have fun. Amen. You better reread that, restudy that. Let me tell you what it's talking about. Let me read it to you again. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. You go back and you look up the meaning of some of these words, you'll come away with the idea of some of these things that we call humor today, that we call adult humor. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
I've had people tell me there's nothing in the Bible about telling dirty jokes. Let me tell you, it's right there.
That's right.
You ought to be careful with the things that you find funny.
That's right.
Preach out, brother. Brother Daryl, I'm either 1,000 miles away or I'm somebody's living room this morning. It's quiet in here. Let me tell you something, folks. This is a Christian walk. Sometimes you may wonder why your walk with God ain't going nowhere. Maybe you ought to go to the book.
Amen.
You know, there's some things that we allow go, that I allow going in my house that ought to be shameful. I remember talking with Brother Moore one time, and like I said, I don't mean to quote him too much. He's the only pastor I ever knew. And we were sitting there talking about TV. You know, you can watch or pay attention and monitor the types of programs that you watch on TV, but now they've blindsided us. Sometimes the commercials are more wicked and horrible than the show ever could be.
That's right.
Most of these young people know about adult dysfunction than you and I did when we got married.
That's right.
I'm telling you the truth this morning. And it's the commercial. You know, we ought to watch what we watch in our homes or allow in our homes. And this idea that's just harmful or harmless joking, I want you to understand something. That the Bible is plain when it talks about what we ought to be amused by. And that's what he's talking about. I love playing jokes. Amen? I love the fact that Sandy got stuck behind that house. I'm sorry, Sandy. That's right, because I'm playing with fire. Every time I say something like that, usually, I want to tell you a little story about me. I was back in that big old bus out of that barn, and the mechanic said, you need me to back that out for you? I said, if I can't back that out of that hole, I don't need to be driving. And I tell you the truth, I backed right out and knocked one of the mirrors off. I didn't get my license up either, but so I better be careful about stuff like that. All right, but anyway, there's a difference between just having fun and humor that's inconvenient. And we need to watch that. I need to watch that. You need to watch that. Because some things that our society finds as humorous, the Bible finds as offensive and of inconvenience. That's Bible, not Brother Willie. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, which is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. He's talking about those that are darkness. He's not talking about somebody that sometimes might get themselves in darkness, but he's talking about those that are lost. That is a way of life. that it's who they are. Amen? And folks, let me tell you, the Bible says they are lost people in the world. They need the gospel. They don't need our ridicule. They don't need us making fun of them. That's why you've never heard me make a joke about homosexuality from this pulpit. You've never heard me make any kind of a joke or any kind of a slanderous remark or anything like that. Because folks, if we can start laughing at it, it becomes less serious.
That's right. Amen.
It's not nothing to be made fun of.
Right.
Because people, real people that you know and that I know, are going to leave this world Christless and go to a devil's hell, and in order to break our hearts, not make us laugh. So, verse 6, don't let nobody deceive you with false words. I paraphrase that, but let me read it to you. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Oh, wait a minute. Bible says the lost will have no part in the kingdom of God. But that verse right there says that you and I can be partakers in their evil deeds. That don't make us like them. It makes us partakers with them. How do we fix that? We become followers or mimickers of Christ, as in verse 1, and we follow Christ, our God, as dear children. We get our minds and our hearts off of the things of the world and onto the things of God. Amen. I'm going to have to stop right there. Because now we're getting into number 2. And I didn't really think number 1 was going to take that long. But I want to stop right there because, folks, let me tell you something. The devil has blinded the eyes of this world. But I'm becoming more and more convinced that he's also been able to slip blinders upon God's people. And we have allowed some things to come in, and we will never ever be separated from the love of God. There's nothing that could ever separate us from the love of God. But I'm afraid that there's countless of Christians that have lost their fellowship or their walk with God. And that's a sad thing. So I want to spend some more time next week on this. Let's have a song of invitation. God dealing with you. Brother Willie, I'm not where I ought to be with my walk with Christ. Well, let me tell you, today, you can come back to Him. The Bible here in our the subject this morning is our Christian walk. We walk in love. Do you love your fellow man? Is there somebody in your life that you need to pray for today? Is there someone that you need to pray and bring before the throne of God and just spend time with them in prayer? You don't have to come up here to these altars. You can pray wherever you are. But if you feel like you need to come up here, you're welcome to.
Amen.
But mostly, we need to pray for one another.
Amen.
Brother, what's your number?
117. 117.
I must go, Jesus, all the way.
I cannot bear the